Hey, dude, this dog leg stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie. Spring has sprung.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
The rain has come again, so we're not seeing a whole lot of spring right now, but it's okay. Hey, welcome to episode 368 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 26th, 2023 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, Groommore, and Stazco. And if you guys like to support us, you can go to the website, thegroompod.com, and click on the donation button for a one-time donation or join us on Patreon. This week on the Groom Pod, we're really going to talk about icky, sticky poo. I said we were talking about it last week, but we never got to it. But I left it in because I sounded so funny when I announced it, so... This week, really, we're doing it. We're doing icky, sticky poo, and we're going to tell you a little bit about soap. So that's what's on the podcast this week, and what's new is brought to you by Groommore Software. If you haven't found Groommore, you're missing out. Groommore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groommore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar, and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop, mobile, or house call, Groommore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. Well, we just wrapped up the Northwest show, and I've got to say, I give it kind of mixed reviews this year. Part of that, though, is because they wanted me to man the Groomer Association booth. And that's like death to me to have to stand behind the table and talk to people. It was so hard. I'm never at the booth when I'm supposed to be watching the booth. I'm always everywhere else talking to everyone. The classes were not the best this year, although it's mostly all we get, so we go. But the real true value in going to a grooming show, I think, is the networking that takes place. So I did get to do a lot of networking. I enjoyed that. The vendors, not a lot of vendors there, a lot of scissor vendors, which I kind of think Barkley shoots themselves in the foot, and all the vendors shoot themselves in the foot. You've got to have something special like Evolution has to really get attention. Otherwise, it's basically all the same shears from China, kind of repackaged in different colors and different names.
Might as well go to AliExpress.
Yes.
Except you can't get the really long blade shears on the AliExpress. They kind of cap out at about, it's really hard to even find 8-inch there. So yeah, I think it's a shame when a show has too many of a single product vendors like the scissors. It makes it hard for anybody to make a good buck.
Especially with the prices that they charge for the booths. How many pairs of shears do you buy in a year? I know some people really have an obsession and buy all kinds, but I have my 6 that I use every day and they're backup pairs, 6 of those, but I don't really change shears a lot. I find what works for me and I kind of stick to it.
People are different about that. It's like some people stay with the same shampoo for years and other people will buy the latest one every single time. Especially if it comes from a different country. That's one of the things that pisses me off, is that they'll pay great bucks for something to be shipped across the ocean. And what are they paying? They're paying shipping costs, for heaven's sake.
For primarily water with some other stuff in there.
Yeah, right.
I just think there's a huge advantage to being able to pick up shears if you want to buy them. I get that. But I don't see how any of these people made it enough money. I think that Evolution does because they sharpened and Randy from Precision Sharp didn't come. So everybody who had planned on bringing Randy their stuff had to kind of spread it out amongst the rest of the group. And out of the group that was there, really, Evolution, Moen and Abby are really, really good sharpeners. So I went with them. And I'm very happy with what I got back. Everything works great and is very sharp. I miss Randy, but I understand it's a long ways to get out here to the West Coast from the East Coast. They do Atlanta Pet Fair, or which is called Groomed now. That's like the week before our show out here. Then they request that people fly all of their goods and their people all the way out to Tacoma to then set up for a couple, 3 days there, then to fly all the way back to Intergroom. It's not very appealing. If I was a vendor from the East Coast, it wouldn't be very appealing to me.
Really? I know. Yeah. And especially when you have to, there again, shipping. Add to the $3,000 booth fee the immense cost of shipping anything like gallons of shampoo. Like, ugh.
And then what if you don't sell very many? Then you're shipping them all back to you.
Shipping them back.
It's crazy. But I appreciate the effort that they make every year. But I think that they need to kind of make a little more effort at this point. Or go ahead and give up and we'll try to do our own independent thing like a lot of the other states are doing, like the Teton Show and the Rocky Mountain Show and those. I mean, we have certainly enough people here in an association that perhaps could pull it together. Maybe not a big trade show, but at least education. I like bringing in individuals. I brought you in, Barbara. I'm thinking Colin Taylor's going to be in the neighborhood. I'm going to try to get him to come over to Cascade and do one day for us there. He hasn't gotten back to me on that yet, but we can do education that way. And I'm lucky because Cascade Grooming Supply or Groomers Gone Wild, the Groomers Gone Wild will link you up to Cascade Grooming Supply as well. So definitely hit that up.
What is this Groomers Gone Wild thing?
It's called going out to drink with your coworkers and factory reps and being silly. And I think that Wesley bought Groomers Gone Wild. And they were joking that Michael was driving around in a van filled with, crazy girls with no shirts on, or I don't know, whatever. It's so funny. Now I can't remember what I was saying. Just went right out of my head.
Oh, you were saying do independent things. It's very possible because now you have your Groomers Association going again. So guess what? News flash. Arizona is starting up a new Groomers Professional Org, an association.
Excellent.
So it's in its very, very baby phase. And the woman, Megan, who is kind of the creator, is very energetic, very passionate about it, very on point, but she is also very camera shy and kind of just getting her wings. And so I offered my support. I don't want to be an officer. I maybe a board member or something, you know. I just don't need the glory of office. But I'm excited that, and I reached out and contacted the Colorado Groomers on their Facebook page. Colorado is resurrecting their state professional organization. So isn't this interesting that it's kind of coming back around?
Yeah.
You know, these organizations started up and they all used a premise about we need to be prepared in case that, you know, licensing requirements come around. And then it didn't happen and it didn't happen and it didn't happen. So the membership kind of dwindled and fell apart and these various organizations kind of faded into the woodwork. And now there's new blood and there's new thinking and there's new generation of groomers who want that supportive networking going again.
This is interesting. I didn't even think about it that way. But the focus when I had the Washington Association, when I was doing that, and we had our little back way back 15 years ago, The focus for us was never legislation. The focus was education. Maybe we can refocus the Washington State Groomers Association that we're making now to be focused on bringing in good quality education to the area and providing venues and opportunities for people locally to get some real hands-on good quality education that's not necessarily being paid by a vendor or put on by Barclay. So, yeah, you know, food for thought.
I think that's a good idea, and I think that I should suggest that to our founding members. Because what I say about groomers organizations is that you have to offer something for today as well as something for when the boogeyman arrives in the future. It can't just be all on the future.
There's no value then.
There's no value. You've got to have some kind of today value and not just a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I totally agree. So this week for me, I did a bunch of cats. It was a cat week for me. I did three in one day, which is for a mobile groomer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of cats in one day. I did test out the Chris Christensen feline shampoos. And what I would say about them is the color-enhancing shampoos enhanced the color of my bathtub, but I didn't really see it so much on the pets afterwards. The gold-enhancing shampoo is very brown when it comes out of the bottle. So it's like, oh, that looks interesting. But it didn't really change the effect on the cat very much. I'll just say that. It did clean fine. It smelled nice. It performed okay. I didn't have a problem with that. But I don't think that it really enhanced the gold colors in this cat. It's kind of same with I think there was one other one that was a color one. Oh, the white one. The white one was fine. It worked out okay. Then I also tried the cat-friendly static spray. That's just like anything else. I didn't see anything specifically cat-friendly about that. I wouldn't rush out and buy that to replace the Max or any of the whatever sprays you're currently using. I wouldn't change that out. It was nice. It was fine. So they all worked. There was a volumizing shampoo. There's a face wash. There's the color-enhancing shampoos. There is some kind of a coat booster that I didn't try because I don't tend to have a lot of success with coat booster type products that are after the bath. It was fine. It was okay. But the more interesting thing was I had three cat fails, two on one day and one on another day.
You mean the fail in action or just they didn't show up for the appointment?
Well, it's a variety pack, Barbara. It's a variety pack.
What happened?
I have one house that has two cats, and one of the cats, I had him in the trach saver, decided I was trying to kill him. Like, I've never used a trach saver on him before, but I put his little arms through it, and I tightened it down, and from that moment on, everything else was a no-go. I had shaved the top surfaces of the cat. Nothing underneath and not much up front. And that's where we ended. You know, I didn't want him to remember this experience because I've done two perfectly fine, successful, unremarkable grooms on him that I put the trach saver on and he wigs out. And then every time I came near him, it was like your dog on THC. It was like, oh, don't. And I thought, I don't want to stress this cat out. I want him to like me. So I just called her and I had her come get the 3/4 finished cat. I never got to the bath on that one. He's an exotic short hair mix and he's a little high strung.
What shampoo did you use on the exotic short haired mix?
The exotic short hair mix. So there's two of them. I never got to the bath on that one cat. The other cat, though, I use the gold enhancing shampoo because he's a red, really red and gold tabby. Kind of really unique, nice round face. Well, oh, just adorable cat. His name is Magic. And so he got the color enhancing shampoo that I'm not sure did a lot of enhancing.
So next time you do him.
Yes.
Will you use the Show Season Bright on him for me?
If I had it, I would. I don't currently have it. I have the Best Shot one. I'll try to get a bottle from Michael, though, before I do them. And they're every 3 months, so I won't see him for 3 months.
Because here's my thought on the color enhancing. I think the brightener shampoos do a better job of enhancing the color. All colors.
I felt the same way. Yeah, I'm right on board. See, you've taught me well. You have taught me so well. I'm such your protege. Yeah, absolutely. I think that any of the either Bright or Best Shot One Shot Whitener would have probably done a more effective job. So then I did my evil Persian. He doesn't mean to be evil, but they declawed him. And he's angry at life. And he is in a house with unhappy people. Yeah, it's a rough situation. The lady's in a wheelchair. She's lost one leg. She's had cancer 3 times. She can't get out of her apartment. Her husband is the nicest guy, and he does his very best. But she is so grouchy and so miserable in her life that she just makes him miserable. So I go over there, and it's an apartment on the water. So I have to park at the lighthouse parking lot at the park. And he comes over, brings the cat in the rolling carrier across the cement. So by the time the cat gets to me,
he's real roughed up.
He's pissed off. And then I have taught Dad how to help me with the cat, but I swear he gets bit every time, almost every time. Well, he is very much a cat that uses his mouth because he doesn't have front claws, although he does whack you with his front feet as if he did have claws. He'll whack you. But he's very tricky about getting around muzzles, getting his mouth out of the muzzle. So Dad will hold him and I will do the haircut. And then he got a bath with the shine shampoo. So it's supposed to be extra shiny. And once again, it worked fine, but I didn't notice that he was extra shiny. He's a chinchilla colored Persian.
You have gloves for Dad?
Dad wears gloves. And I also have an air muzzle. Sometimes we use that. Yeah. Sometimes we use a soft muzzle. Sometimes I actually use a cone type muzzle that keeps away from his nose because it's, you know, Persian. Anyway, this is one of those examples where I was really, really grateful that I cut the nails first. There's only 2 feet, right? So I always do them first because he uses his weapons. He is very good with his weapons. So I cut all 4 of his back feet and I was doing his belly and he nailed me with his back feet. And he ripped across the top of my knuckle with a cut nail. That just made a trench, a gigantic trench in the spot that my finger bends.
Oh, no.
He got several other fingers, but if he'd have still had his nails, I would have been shredded. I would have been in the, what do you call it, urgent care. I would have had to have gone to urgent care, and I'm sure this would have required stitches across the front of my knuckle. But as it is, it just dug a wide and deep trench in the front of my thumb. But I'm a bleeder, not a clotter. So I bled all over the table. I bled all over the dog. I bled all over my car. I bled all over my smock. Because every time you bend your knuckle, it starts to open again. And it just gushed blood for like 40 minutes. I swear I lost a pint out of my thumb. It was crazy. Word to the wise, if you have the ability to get the nails off and it doesn't piss the cat off right from the start, get them off because you just never know when you're going to miss that back foot and it's going to get you. So Barbara, my third cat belongs to a lady who doesn't have a lot of money and she's in senior housing. And occasionally we'll make the appointment and the night before she'll say, oh, you know, I don't have the money. Can we switch it out? And we'll push it out. So we did that once, pushed it out a month, and I sent her the new appointment. And then Groomore sends a reminder every evening at 7 o'clock for the next day's appointment. And I sent the reminder. She confirmed the appointment. Luckily, I was very close to her at the appointment before her. So I moved over to her place and I came to the door and she said, Susie, you're today? Today? I thought it was next week. Okay, you confirmed your appointment less than 12 hours ago. So that was my third fail. I just blew her off. I said, no problem. And I went to lunch. You know, I always do a little happy dance when somebody cancels. And at that point, I didn't want to go up there and find her like in her pajamas or naked or something, you know, not ready for me to show up and just letting me in there because I have to catch the cat.
That's always the fun part of cat grooming, climbing underneath somebody's bed to catch their cat that's hissing at you.
And it's huge. The cat's like 25 pounds.
You have to catch the cat and put it in the cage.
They don't have a carrier. I have to bring the carrier.
I'll give you one.
Yeah, no kidding. I just say, make sure you close the bathroom and the bedroom doors, and we'll deal with the couch, because the cat goes behind the couch, and then I have to move her furniture around. And
three.
Cat fails right in a row. Fitty, who wouldn't let me do anything out, then the cat that scratched the heck out of my hand, and then the no-show cat. Or, well, I showed, but she just, yeah. Anyway, that was my cat story.
I have a little mystery going on at my salon, aka shop.
A little mystery, you say?
A mystery, I say. So it's kind of funny, because you have heard me talk about not using emu oil, right?
Right.
And the reason that I don't advocate for emu oil is that emus are farmed to be killed and their oil removed from them. They're farmed for their oil. Not that they don't find, I'm sure they find other uses for other parts, but the main purpose is to obtain emu oil, and you have to kill an animal to get its oil out of it. And the emus are apparently very rich in oil. You get about 3 gallons from one, but nonetheless, I think that's brutal and
unnecessary in today's world.
Unnecessary, because there's just so many decent oils out there. Well, I'm working on this border terrier that I have named Bandit, who went bald. Did I tell you about Bandit? I hand stripped him for several years, and then all of a sudden he lost his hair. And Dad at first thought it was his fault, because he'd furminated him at home.
Yeah.
Rather aggressively. And I said, I don't think so, Dave, because this is not like damaged hair. This is just like there's no hair coming out of these follicles. And indeed, the dog went on to get even more bald. And so the whole back of him was bald. His tail is bald. He was just like bald down to his ankles. We stopped grooming him for a while, but he started growing some coat. It's not good coat. It's all fuzzy, light colored, soft. It's not Border Terrier type coat. It's like he was clipped all his life or something, you know? So he grew that coat, and I did a trim on him, and I said, hey, I've just done this course on skincare. I would like to have Bandit come in every 3 weeks, and I'll do a protocol spa treatment on him. And he went for it. He said, okay, let's do it. So I've been doing this for several months now. We've had him in and got remarkable results. Now, it could very well be that it was time for a change, and clipping the hair and putting him in a breed trim might have stimulated more hair growth. But I'm going to take credit for it, because I use a combination of things. He's been coming every 3 weeks. And then about 8 weeks ago, I stripped part of his back. He had enough hair on his dorsal side, you know, like down his back. And so I stripped an area, and by golly, it's growing back in some decent coat. But he still has a bald tail with just kind of some side feathering on it, very unattractive. And I was doing some online researching, and I ran into a science study that showed that the application of emu oil on an alopecia patient resulted in new follicles.
Really?
So I said, well, fucking A. I got to try this, right?
Right.
So I just had to set my little attitude aside, as I am able to do. Thank you very much. I'll take a bow on that.
Yes.
And I bought a small bottle, 2 ounces, of certified American emu oil. So there's an association that certifies that the emus are not brutally massacred, that it's all humane and all that kind of crap, all right? So, and I wanted to do that rather than spend a lot more money for something from Australia, from some unknown ranch, right?
Right.
But that, I got it in time for an appointment. Well, he canceled his appointment because his daughter-in-law was in labor.
Oh, my.
I remembered to take the bottle down to the shop so I wouldn't lose it in my household clutter. And I put it on the shelf on top of my desk. So it's a computer desk and there's a higher shelf like that. I put it right there. And Yvonne discovered it. And she says, what's this? And I said, well, it's emu oil for Bandit. Because what I thought I would do is I would apply it to the tail and then I would give the bottle to the owner and have him do it every day. You know, I got ready to do the appointment and the bottle of emu oil has gone missing.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right in front of my face, I can sit at my table and look over at my desk and see the emu oil. But Wednesday, I'm sitting at my table and looking over at my desk. There's no emu oil there. The appointment was for Friday. And I said, what? And I went over and I looked and, you know, there's been problems with my desk because there's a, get this, there's a leaky roof leaking right over my desk. And I don't dare tell the landlord because he's going to make it be my fault with the cooler or something, you know, probably with the cooler. And the truth is, the cooler expert guy didn't come by in the fall to turn off the cooler and winterize it. So it's probably been leaking fucking water up there. So then when it rains, it really makes a wet mess on my desk. Had to throw away tons of stuff that was piled on the desk. And that's probably a good thing. But no emu oil. And I looked all over. I looked on the floor. I looked behind the desk. I can't find it. So then yesterday, Yvonne and I were working, and I said, did you do anything to that old bottle of emu oil? And she remembered emu oil. I was so grateful. No, she said. Remember you said you were going to leave it on your desk so you would know just where it was? I said, yeah, that was the plan. And I'm pretty sure that's what I did. See, I can't trust myself. I am so demented now that I can't trust myself that maybe I moved it. But I looked at all the places where I might have moved it to, like the cupboard where there's special products, not there, you know. I texted Dave, did you see the bottle of emu oil from my desk? What's emu oil? He says, you would never use that. I said, well, it's for Bandit. And it was like a small 2-ounce bottle. He said, no, I don't remember seeing that. So it has gone missing. And I have a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
That there's a black hole in the universe centered in my shop.
It steals people's socks and your emu oil.
Yeah. And, you know, like sometimes it coughs it back up later. You haven't seen it for months, and then all of a sudden it's like right there. That might happen with the emu oil.
Maybe it'll happen Friday. Or did you miss it already?
I haven't rescheduled. I was going to reschedule him for Wednesday, but now I don't have an emu. So I went ahead and ordered another bottle, and I was glad that I'm ordering the $8.95 bottle, not the $30 bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the better price product. So I just reordered, but it's not coming until about April the 4th or something. So it wouldn't be until the next appointment. So I have to decide, do I make him wait until I've got emu oil or do I go ahead and do a spa treatment without it? That's all. The mystery is, what the heck happened to the emu oil?
Perhaps something scurried away with it.
Yeah, but can little animals scurry away with a not opened?
They can sure knock it off somewhere. You looked everywhere.
I know. Yeah, we did look everywhere. I think I could do a little more thorough looking. I could actually remove everything from all around the desk and see. We kind of did that. I mean, we shuffled and looked in the lower shelves, and it doesn't seem to be there, but I could look maybe behind the desk.
Yeah, maybe that.
The company mystery. And so maybe it's maybe it's the universe telling me I shouldn't use emu oil.
There is that. Okay, I know you have another story, but we're going to play a couple ads before we get to it. So sit on the edge of your seats, folks. We'll be right back. Let me tell you about Best Shot's newest addition to the Ultramax Pro line. Ultramax Hair Hold is a flexible hairspray that can be layered on for a stronger hold. Ultramax Hair Hold spray is great, but my favorite new product is called the Max, and I won't groom without it. It's a fragrance-free ultra-concentrate conditioner and detangler. It reduces drying time and handles undercoat and tangles like magic. Just a few drops in the final rinse or spray it on and dry it in. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or learn more online at bestshotpet.com. Grooming success begins with Best Shot in your tub, made from the best stuff on earth.
Chris Bear Anthony here, visiting the Groom Pod. So, if you know me, you know how much I love my Evolution shears. They are the only shears I actually use. So check out all the options, including customizable non-swivels, at evolutionshears.com and give Abby a shout with any questions you might have. GroomPod listeners get $10 off and free shipping with the code GROOMPOD, so check them out today. Your hands will thank you.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Hey! That was exciting. The bird just flew over my head. He usually doesn't do that. Oh, by the way, last episode, we had Huckleberry featuring very prominently in the background. So if that bugged anybody, I'm really sorry about that. He's missing his cat, and he's become a little more vocal with spring, and that's what happened last week. Anyway, Barbara, tell us about Icky Sticky Poo.
I just have the most interesting customer relations. So a couple of months ago, guy comes in and it turns out that his mother brought her dogs to me, you know, like 30 years ago. Okay. Whew. Two schnauzers that I used to do. Do you remember us? Well, I remembered their name, but I didn't remember the dogs. I mean, I didn't remember what we did. So he said, well, now I've got a Rottweiler and a Corgi, and I'd like to bring them in. I tried to schedule for Dave and had a little trouble scheduling. So, and I said, let's just get this Corgi done. The Corgi had the more emergent situation, needed a bath because she gets poop stuck on her butt. So I groomed this Corgi, and I talked about it too. And I fell in love with her. Her name is Margot.
I remember.
She's a black and white and tan party-colored Corgi, just the most pretty Corgi I've ever seen, and very sweet and pretty good about her grooming. And so I fell in love with her, and I don't have any really true double-coated dogs that I'm grooming right now because they're all the bigger dogs, and I'm not doing that. So I said, well, I want to be her personal groomer. Okay, so the next time that he came in, I had to schedule Margot with Dave because he wanted the Rottweiler done, and we ended up needing to do him on the same day. I let Dave groom her. Well, came back, and he complained.
Oh.
And he complained because Dave didn't take it down short enough in the rear end, in the problem area, right?
Yes.
Because she gets poop stuck on there. So I told Dave he needed to scissor back there, but I didn't explain about the poop.
The need the customer had.
The reason for taking it a little shorter back there. So Dave just shaped an aesthetic butt.
A cute butt. A little cute butt.
Yeah. Yeah. A little cute Corgi butt. Well, this Corgi has a particular anatomical anomaly. AA, anatomical anomaly. And I thought of that just now.
Very good.
Her tail is so far up, so high up. Her asshole is so high up. There's not good gravity. I think so. That has to be part of the problem. But owner says that no matter what he does, she gets his little pieces of poop stuck on her rear end and she sleeps with him and yuck.
The dreaded Klingons.
Klingons, right. I said, we call those Klingons and bring her in. So when he complained that Dave didn't take it down short enough, I just had him come back in for free and I went to town on the rear end and did it real good. And so that was fine. Well, next time she was groomed, I made sure I did her and I again cleaned up her butt. And, you know, I think I'm using a 15 blade around there, pretty close. And I thought I did a really good job. But a couple of weeks later, we scheduled her again for another grooming in 6 weeks. But it about 2 weeks in, I hear that she's got the poop butt problem again.
No.
Well, now, because I made a commitment to helping him with the poop butt, it's become a grooming problem.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
See, this guy has a disability. I think he hurt his arm in a car wreck or something. So for some reason, he can't clean his dog's butt. You know, like Dave says, just tell the guy to clean his dog's ass. I said, Dave, for some reason he can't. So once I said, I'll take care of it, then it becomes like my duty or something.
Wait. you said duty.
So there I am. Trying to go to sleep, and I'm thinking about Margo and her poop butt, and what can we do? Well, then I watched a webinar with Angie Coates, and she's doing just cats and rabbits now, and she did a demo dealing with an elderly cat sticky poop butt. She had done a really close baboon butt, bald butt from the tush up to the hole, and really ugly looking. But that's apparently what it takes for that cat to stay clean. And then she used some silicone oil product and made the hair slippery. So I thought, I will try to do the silicone on the dog. Is it a mechanical problem having to do with the anatomy of the dog? Is it a hair problem having to do with the texture of the hair? Or is it a poop problem having to do with the texture of the poop? My experience with Las Opsos for years I owned, Bichons I've owned for years, and now I have Maltese, I very rarely have a poop problem. Because I make sure that I'm feeding them such that they have solid, firm, solidified texture stool that just falls out and doesn't land on the hair.
That gets a ding because, yeah, that's a huge deal.
I rarely have a poop problem. Not that I never do, but I shave around the butthole whenever I groom them. And, mostly it just bounces off. So is it a texture of the poop? I tried to tell him he could try fooling around with the diet. Maybe he's giving so much fish oil that it's make the poop sticky. Is it a problem of the hair texture because the undercoat is a more porous coat that just like for the same reason that undercoat catches to itself, it might catch the poop? And it might be a stickier hair meets stickier poop.
Well, and throw on top the anatomical anomaly that this dog has where his pooper is way up high. Combine it with some aggressively sticky hair. And then, on top of it, the guy feeds a bunch of people food.
Or something, I don't know. So the second time he called with that, she's got the poop already. I started to feel like customer relations was at risk here because it ain't my problem.
Not really, no. I will say that what looks absolutely offensive to us, as in a wide poop shoot baboon butt target area, is probably what he really wants. Yeah. I have a corgi that I have to make a poop shoot just so that everything can drop away. And she has enough of a tail that doesn't really move because it's just the end of her spine. And I think it pushes the poop a certain way. So I part the rivers and I make a really nice shave spot down the center. And then I round the rest of it and kind of blend it and make it look like a cute corgi butt with a target. And I definitely have found that to be a solution. But they did feed a good diet, so that I didn't have the stickiness.
I think where it sticks is really up at the top, right around the asshole. I really did go in there very close. I mean, I thought that I did a really good job. And 2 weeks later, she's got poop. To what extent is it my problem? The good news is that he needed to have the other dog. The Rottweiler needed a bath. I scheduled him to bring both dogs in, and then I met him at Dave's appointment, and I talked to him again. Because there is a customer relations challenge here. If I just brush it off, that's not going to work for the customer. He's not really asking me to fix it.
He's asking for your help, though.
But he's asking for my help, and he's bringing her because he trusts me. And so here's what I did. I had him bringing it. I asked him, did he just want the butt work done, or did he want a whole bath? And he said, well, if you have time, I'd like to have a bath. So he paid for a full groom. And then I gave him, I had these little tiny jars for lip balm that I didn't make. So I filled it up with cowboy magic and I gave it to him. And I said, this is going to make that hair slippery, but you need to apply a fingertip full around the asshole every couple of days. And it will help prevent the problem. Let me know how it works. I said, if it works for you, you can buy a bottle of it. So he didn't have to buy an expensive bottle of cowboy magic just to see if it works. I gave him a free sample, took it home. I'm being helpful. And always, if you can give them something, it's an act of helping.
You get brownie points for that.
Yeah, I get brownie points for that. So I did that. But I still am debating in my head, to what extent does the diet fit in here?
I think it's huge myself. I think it's the primary part of the problem. But, you know, I do come from the vet background. I would absolutely start with the diet. You're going to find out he's feeding a grocery store food, not one of the better grocery store foods, or he's feeding his own diet, you know, whatever he thinks is what the dog needs. I find that a lot in people.
So wait a minute. I feed grocery store food.
Well, so do I, but I feed good grocery store food. Like, I'm not buying Meow Mix for my cat. I'm buying Purina One. There's a pretty big difference there. They're both made by the same company. But if your dog's not having a problem, then it's not a problem, right? It's only a problem if it's a problem. So buy whatever food works for your pet is really the key.
I have told people to add a spoonful of bran to their dog's diet just to tighten up the stool.
Throw a little string cheese in there. That'll do the same thing.
My dog hasn't pooped for 6 weeks since he was last here, Barb. Now what? Yeah. Say, speaking of fiber.
Yes.
We've had this conversation before about grain-free.
Yes.
Do you know that grain-free diet has now been associated with heart disease?
Yeah, and it's the pea protein. They've narrowed it down to the pea protein. So grain-free with pea protein, don't buy it.
I saw a meme came across my feed that listed the manufacturers that were in this clinical trial. And it's not a manufacturer problem.
No, it's the pea protein.
It's the pea protein, yeah.
They took them about a year to figure it out, but all the vets are saying, don't do it. Don't feed grain-free anymore. And the truth is, dogs are omnivores, And they're supposed to eat a variety of stuff. They'll eat carrion. Yeah. They'll eat bread. They'll eat whatever.
They'll eat grass. They'll eat grass. Mine eat my grass.
Right. Cats are obligate carnivores. So they do eat pretty much exclusively, with the exception of Bert, who likes to have a cracker now and then, do need the more protein-based diets, but not with pea protein. Stay away from pea protein.
Although pea protein is an excellent protein in a hair care.
Just don't eat it.
I eat it. I eat peas.
Right, but not pea protein. Not after it's been mutated in the lab and made in just taking the... I don't know what they do. What do they do? You would know what they do.
No, I don't really know what they do.
Well, whatever they do, it's resulting in problems for the dogs. We don't want that. We never want problems for the dogs.
But do think they need fiber, and we agree on that. So that's good.
And also, just to reiterate, I think pet foods from the grocery store are fine if your dogs are fine with them. It's only when you have a problem, like sticky poop, that you might need to look for something else. I'm a proponent of feeding what is accessible to you, you know. And if you don't have a pet store, I don't have a pet store. There's no pet store. I have to drive like an hour.
I buy fresh pet.
Oh, that's nice.
And I mix it in because I've got some easier, cheaper stuff that I use that's a Purina product. And I kind of tend to trust Purina.
They do a lot of research.
They do a lot of research, and they use their research, and I just don't buy the cheapest.
Exactly. You can buy Meow Mix, or you can buy Purina One, or you can buy Purina Pro Plan. One and Pro Plan are great foods. Meow Mix, not so much. It's all made in the same spot. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, and then we're going to go on a rant. I want a rant. I'm feeling a rant, Barbara. I just feel it coming. Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom. So I was in a class this weekend at the Northwest Grooming Show, and someone mentioned using soap on cats, like a bar of soap. And I've never generally been a fan of soap. I think it feels weird. But what's the real truth about soap?
Well, the real truth about soap is that it's very harsh. And it's very high pH. So just to reiterate, the truth about the pH balance thing is that pH scale is logarithmic. And that means that the difference between 7.0 and 8.0 is 10. 7.0 and 9.0 is 10 times 10. 100 times more alkaline than the balanced water.
Think about the earthquake scale. It's just like the earthquake scale.
It's like the earthquake scale. And soap is usually 9.5 to 10.0. Bar soap, you cannot adjust the pH in it. So it's really harsh. It's really drying. It's more harsh than a detergent shampoo with sodium lauryl sulfate, which in itself is higher than soap, but it can be mixed with citric acid and brought down to even into an acidic level. You can manipulate the pH of sodium lauryl sulfate in a liquid solution. You cannot manipulate the pH of a bar soap. You have oil, you have lye, and it reacts and forms soap plus glycerin. And that's the manufacturing process, you know.
What about those who say you can mitigate the harshness by adding, like, botanicals or humectants into the bar soap? Does that work?
You cannot mitigate the pH. You just can't. You can include the glycerin and add some humectant moisturizing value, but you can't really keep it from stripping the oils from the skin. I mean, it's an effective degreaser. That's why it's used for cats, because cats often, by the time they come to be groomed, they're very greasy.
That's so true.
And some breeds, like the American Shorthair, just have an oily skin situation. But frankly, the appeal for soaps has to do with the whole natural movement. Because soaps are considered, they're less synthetic. They are probably less engineered than detergents, but they are still the result of a chemical reaction. Get real.
And it's called saponification.
It's called saponification. And the thing is, when they made the rules and regulations for labeling of cosmetics back in the 1935-ish, soaps were an extremely powerful lobbying organization in Congress. And they lobbied and successfully got an exemption for soap.
So we don't know what's in soap?
No.
Oh.
They don't need to list their ingredients like shampoos do.
Yeah.
So what they will say is saponified oils of, and they'll name all these lovely oils. Saponified oil is saponified oil. You have oil. You have lye. The lye does its thing to any oils and turns it into soap. It makes it anionic. It's very strong anionic. It's stronger than what you would find the pH and the harshness of a shampoo, with the exception of maybe something like Grime Time, which is 100%. Well, it's not 100%. It's like 98% sodium lauryl sulfate. Straight sodium lauryl sulfate is very good degreaser because it's very harsh. It's very aggressive in its gathering of oils out of the skin. And so when anything is very aggressive and very effective at removing oils, it's also able to remove skin lipids, internal oils of the skin, and dry out the skin and leave it available to irritation or allergy.
Now, the few times that I've used a bar to do some cleaning, a shampoo bar, it doesn't feel very clean when I'm done. It feels like it's like got a film on it or something. What's that about?
That's because soaps have a natural affinity to the metal ions like calcium and stuff in tap water.
Like the minerals in tap water. Okay.
The minerals in tap water. And if you have hard water, you're definitely going to have some kind of a residue, whether you can see it or not. If it's a really serious reaction, you can see it. And it seems like the skin is flaking after the shampoo. Detergents are less likely to be mesmerized. they don't hook up with the minerals in the water to the extent that soaps are just fall in love. You know, it's just like, oh, me and you, yeah, now take me.
And then do they hold it like against the skin?
It forms an insoluble residue that then adheres to the porosity of the hair, surface of the hairs, or the surface of the tub, leaving a soap gum ring in your tub when you use soap. It's just not hair friendly. I actually had a conversation today with artificial intelligence, AI.
Oh, cool.
About soap. I said, what are the effects of using hard soap on hair? And AI said, using hard soap on hair can have several negative effects, including 1, dryness. Hard soap can strip the hair of its natural oils, leaving it feeling dry, brittle, and prone to breakage. This can lead to split ends and hair that is difficult to manage. 2, dullness. Hard soap can leave a residue on hair, making it look dull and lifeless. And that stuff can build up over time, Susie.
The residue?
Yeah, the residue. This can also attract dirt and other impurities, making it harder to keep the hair clean. pH imbalance. Hard soap is typically alkaline, which can disrupt the natural pH balance of the hair and scalp. This can lead to irritation, inflammation, and dandruff. Color fading. Hard soap can cause color-treated hair to fade or become dull, as it can strip away the artificial color molecules from the hair shaft. 5, tangles and knots. Hard soap can make the hair tangle and knot, making it harder to brush and style. Overall, using hard soap on hair is not recommended, as it can cause a variety of problems that can damage the hair and scalp. Instead, it is better to use a gentle shampoo that is especially formulated for hair. Yeah, so AI tends to agree with me.
Surprise!
And I agree with it. Now, I asked it another question where I didn't agree. I asked it to compare hard soap with sodium lauryl sulfate. But what it did, it compared the soap to straight lauryl sulfate, SLS. Hard soap is made from natural oils and fats, while SLS is a synthetic surfactant. Well, SLS, as you know, is also often referred to as from coconut.
Yeah.
It does have of natural origin. So of natural origin has now become an effective hallmark of naturalness. Doesn't matter that the natural relative is 16 synthetic moves removed from the final product.
Right.
So the truth is that the manufacture of soap, it's so simple that people do it at home. So we have a lot of homemade pet products from soap, and it's also has the advantage of not being liquid in the bottle. Right?
Easier to carry in some ways.
Yeah, so easier and carries less trash. It's also more biodegradable, faster biodegradability.
So one time I had a client who was over on the peninsula where we have a lot of lavender farms, and she brought me a product that she bought off the shelves of one of the little specialty stores that was a lavender liquid soap. And I thought, oh, this is probably just a detergent. Well, it left a horrible film and it dog didn't feel clean at all. And it was really creepy. Is it a saponified product when it's liquid like that, or is it not?
Yeah, it's still saponified, but it comes from potassium instead of sodium. So it's not baking soda. It's a potassium alkaline that makes for liquid soap. And liquid soap actually has more potential for being able to adjust the pH. But perhaps I didn't think about that.
It was yucky. And when I gave her the dog back, I said, I used your shampoo. I am not at all happy with the end result here. And if you want me to, I'll rebathe the dog. And she was like, no, don't worry about it. But she never brought that shampoo back again. So lesson learned. It smelled lovely. It was delightful.
It's not that you can never use soap. You could use it for greasy ears. You could use it for filthy feet. But if you use it, you need to really load up on conditioners, and you need to be aware that there can be some side effects. Hard soap might be more natural, more environmentally friendly than detergents, but it's not hair friendly. You know, I don't even use it on my skin because now that my skin is older, it's just a little bit more tender.
Okay, let's wrap this up with a little story from the Northwest show. You know how there's always some unique vendors that are not animal related, you know, that show up? Well, there was the dog food people, and they are animal related, but there's also the people with the TENS units.
Yeah.
And the people with the magnetic bracelets. And there was a lot of eye candy at the magnetic bracelet booth. So they happened to be pretty near us. It was all right. I have no complaints here, but I'm not exactly behind on the technology. But anyway, so they had a booth that had skin tightening cosmetics, right? And I was watching the trade show association booth, so I was nowhere near the booth. I was over by them talking to them, and they're like, oh, tell us what your skin routine is. And I went,
they asked the wrong person.
I said, well, I get my face wet when I take a shower. And they said, well, what products do you use? And I said, products? I don't use products on my face. I just let the water wash my face and that's it. And she said, well, what kind of, you know, foundation and moisturizer do you use? And I said, I don't use any foundation or moisturizer, and I never have. This is just my face in the shower. I mean, that's about it. So I really messed with her. She's like, well, let me put this on you. And I went, well, how about if I come back when you guys aren't busy? I'm supposed to be watching the booth. I did use it as an excuse. And I retreated back over to the behind the desk. God, I didn't want her to put that stuff on me. It was weird. She said it would tighten up my eyelids.
I need some of that.
Well, it would be fine if it worked.
I have this one, like, droopy eyelid. It's my left eyelid from sleeping on my left side.
Ew.
It's strange. It's droopier. There's more of this skin that sort of has appeared and folds over. And I also have no eyelashes in the corner of that eye.
Oh, well, on that bizarre note, let's call this show complete and we'll all ponder Barbara's weird eye and eyelash problem. Well,
but I'd be happy to tell you about my skin protocol because I got one.
I know.
But that reminds me of the time that I went up to the vendor at a show and they had a curved slicker brush, a plastic handled curved slicker, and they said, we guarantee that these won't break. And I took the brush from him in my hand. I held it by the handle and I pressed my thumb against the head of the brush and I snapped it off.
Whoa!
I said, oh, you mean like this? And I broke a freaking brush with my left hand.
Oh my gosh. They're never going to invite either one of us back to the trade show floor.
You got a little crowd around in there.
I bet.
Okay. Hey, let's call this puppy done.
All right. Thanks for being here. Remember to support our sponsors, and you can support us as well at the website. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy grooming. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves. We love you.